Sports Day for Kia.
The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
Lumo Energy SA.
Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA.
And OTR.
With the OTR app, every fifth C coffee is free.
Here, good evening, Malcolm Blight and David Wilde, 8223 0000. This is Sports Day SA, all for national tiles. You can get the stone look tiles from Spain. Under $30, just landed at National Tiles. As I said, terrific, under $30 per metre. Port Adelaide out, Brisbane out, Richmond Geelong Grand Final. First time ever sides that have lost the first week of the finals have both got to a Grand Final. And congratulations to the Eagles. They beat my old side, North Adelaide. Looked a bit bleak early, but the second quarter there, as good as it gets. So welcome, Malcolm Blight. Blighty, how are you?
Yes, what a fascinating weekend, as it always is. Yes, Woodville, West Torrens, the Eagles. Good on the boys. 9 years of a little bit of heartache, but they've finally got there over your team, David, which
and
is great.
Well done to Lachie Neal. No surprise. He won by one of the biggest margins ever.
No, and we've talked about it before. If you notice, I did pick him last year when he did run third, and I did pick Boak to run second this year. So that's everyone picked Lachie Neal. We knew that.
I think you're wondering why the SA teams hadn't made a bigger play for Lachie Neal. He went way north, didn't he, rather than sort of crossing over.
I said this on our summer show. Yeah. I said, I can't believe the best and fairest has got away from Fremantle,
yeah,
and he's flown the coop over South Australia to go to Queensland.
Where he's born, in South Australia.
I don't know. They've fallen asleep at the wheel of him. I know pick 50's odd. You've got to get a bit lucky. But see, it just goes to show you, David, pick 1, 2, 3, or 4 doesn't give you any guarantee of a good player.
No. No, we went through that actually today at lunch with a few people saying that. I got a text to, where is it? Let's bring it up here. Yeah, Mouse, who regular contributor, yeah, said, is Lachie Neal Adelaide Crows' biggest stuff up in front of, and also Caleb Daniel, didn't want him, not good enough, too small. He's been a marvellous footballer for a number of years now.
Well, he has.
He's getting better, actually, every year.
Yeah, but I mean, that's always in the rear vision mirror. I mean, you've got to look at actually what happened, what the form was, and you know what? For actually Fremantle to take him 50-odd, that means a lot of people didn't rate him. Not only the Adelaide Football Club, Port Adelaide, a lot of them. But, I mean, I just thought the 31 votes, they just get too many now, don't they? Mm. They, you know, not to cry, I thought he'd win it, and I thought he'd have it, obviously did. But, Jesus, it was a couple of games there I saw, and, like, he might have missed out on some others, but, geez, they get to get...
Did they worry about height too much? Because Caleb Daniel got a chance. I'm glad he did. Came from South Adelaide, and he's played exceptional football. Some of the little guys are fantastic. We've got Luke Powell on from Woodville West Torrens, CEO. Yeah. I'm going to ask him about James Rowe because he's so clever and does what he knows, where to find the ball, how to read it. And he kicked 47 goals, 11. Now, yeah, he can't do any more as a small forward. Now,
no.
I hope he can find his way into a list somewhere. I know they're going to shorten those, but I reckon sometimes you've got to look at the small guys. They're equally as important. Look at Zach Butters.
Absolutely.
From Port Adelaide, terrific year.
Yeah.
It's the little guys that are, I think, are changing footy.
No, well, yes, but it's also it's the ticker and the brain. Now, I mean, if you can play the game and you've got some real hunger and real desire, if you look at everything about Lachie Neal's done, I mean, he was a small little player, but all he wanted to do was play footy,
yeah,
and wanted to get better. Now, give me a player that wants to get better, and I've had this debate with a few people. Some want to be the best. Well, once you get the best, you can't be any better. So that's why I always...
He wants to be. He wrote the Brownlow as, yeah, one of his goals. He,
yeah,
said, may as well aim there. He said, I don't get a lot of those goals, but I've managed to find some of them. Port Adelaide, they're out. Great year. Top all year.
Yeah.
The conditions didn't, I think, really help either side. It was a real grind. But just at the crucial times, I thought the class of Richmond, particularly in the second half when they dominated clearance, was just a bit better.
Yeah, they did actually, didn't they? Yeah, yeah, it was the midfield, wasn't it? I mean, you had to get the ball forward somehow. I still think both teams mucked around with the footy a little bit more than what they should have. You know, they tried to be a bit fanciful with the weather. I mean, it was a tough game. And you know what? It's not the greatest ad for our game, and I've said this for years. Night football with rain is probably not the product that we all want to see. Sadly, the players have got to do it because that's the way the system is. And that's why I think, somewhere in the track, we mightn't see this, David, but maybe our game will be played in indoor stadiums, and that would, then we,
yeah,
can see the whole thing. Now, that's going to be 50, 100 years' time, but that's when our game is at its very best, when it's beautiful light and dry conditions.
Did they get the selection wrong?
Yeah, I reckon they did. And I think we had a bit of a conversation about this. I can't remember if it was on air or off air, but it looked like one tall too many to me for Port Adelaide. And when it rained, and you knew it was going to rain, and it rained nearly all day, well, on and off, you just knew it was going to be two.
Yeah, particularly with Laddams there as well.
Yeah.
Let's take a call from Matt from Murray Bridge. Hi, Matt.
Oh, how you going?
Yeah, good.
Yeah, I just wanted to say about the MCG turf that they're taking up to the Gabba. Like, to me as a fan, that's a bit of a slap in the face when the AFL seems to be short of money and they're wasting money doing something like that. It doesn't really fit real well with me as a fan.
Wasn't it done from a sponsor, I think, paid
for
that?
Yeah, I'll mention that Rebel Sport apparently have put the money up, paid for that and done it all. So,
and got plenty of publicity
out
of it.
Yes, got plenty of publicity, Matt. So when I first heard of it, we're a trillion in debt as a country. Why would we be wasting money on that? But I guess it's a sponsoring marketing people. I mean, Rebel Sports still want to spell some. Yeah, so we all know about it now. So, yeah, I agree with you. I thought it was a waste, but it wasn't, mate. It was someone else paid for it.
And the actual, I don't mind the concept. In fact, two Victorian sides we were playing there at the Gabba. Who would have thought, first time since 2011, And all the people that say, yeah, Richmond play at the MCG and Geelong play at the old Cadinia Park and MCG, well, in the worst season we've ever seen, these guys have been away for 3 or 4 months and they made a grand final.
Yeah, I wonder if there'll be some noise from some parts of this community in Adelaide that talk about this all the time. I'll be very interested in seeing how two Victorian teams have actually lived away for 100 and something days and aren't playing at the MCG, how that's taken from some of these people that have rat-bagged them for years.
I honestly think the two best teams have got there. They didn't finish first or second, but I think the two best sides, if you look at it skill-wise and going through their squads, they are the best two.
Now, in round 17 this year, Richmond kicked 7 goals 15 to Geelong 4 goals 7.
That's right.
And won by 26 points. Geelong kicked 1 goal to three-quarter time. How can they reverse that?
I think they're playing better footy. I think, don't forget, Port got beaten by Geelong by 10 goals and beat them the next time. That can swap over. I honestly believe at their very best, teams are Richmond the best side. If they both play at their very best, I think Richmond are slightly better. But is the hunger still there? They won a couple of premierships. They've been a great side for and Geelong. Boy, Ablett going out, perhaps Harry Taylor going out, and maybe two or three others.
Yeah.
This is their last chance.
Do you know they're the oldest team? If they win, they'll be the oldest team. 28.3 years. They'll be the oldest team ever to play the grand final team if they play the same team. 28.3 years of age. Can I just tell you something on that? And about 150-odd games. You know, the Adelaide Crows team, I'm sorry to do this to you, they were 24.8. Can you imagine the difference? And only averaged 73 games. It's still a remarkable win, that. I know I brought it up a couple of times.
You got Port's figure there?
Yes, I have.
Because they're not as young as you think either, are they? No. Even though they've got three of the youngest players going around.
Yeah. No, I haven't. I've got them in the... Yeah, we'll they're 26 and a half, 27. So they're very close. Hey, listen, we've got a poll too. Now, poll tonight for the Australian-made logo. Be sure it's Aussie. Look for the green and gold Aussie-made logo to be sure it's authentically Australian-made. Now, pretty topical. Was Hamish Hartlett's deliberate out-of-bounds call the right decision by the umpire in that crucial last quarter for the goal to be kicked by Lambert from Richmond?
I believe it was. They had a lot of deliberate out-of-bounds, and a couple of guys who kicked 40 metres up the thing, and they took a big off-break or a leg break, depending on what side, and went out-of-bounds called deliberate. I thought his intention, even though he had a Port Adelaide teammate there, you try and disguise it a bit better than that. But unfortunately, he flushed it, sort of dived on it, and was out before anyone could grab it. So, I think to let a law, if you go for the boundary, or having said that, you'll let a fist at eight rows back, aren't you? I thought it was, but, you know, I mean, sometimes they pay them, sometimes they don't.
Yeah, well, the poll at the moment is yes, they thought Hamish Hartlett was a deliberate, 65%, no, 35%.
How'd you see it?
I thought he was going to. I think Tommy Rockliffe was on the boundary line. I thought he just went a bit hard at it. Perhaps he saw that black and white jumper and just went for it. Can I just say something now? That could also be eliminated if we change it back. Now, watching the Sandful League Grand Final, as we did yesterday on Adelaide Oval, anyone that didn't touch the ball is out. It's an automatic free kick. So if that was then, if that was in.
Last touch. Last touch. Yeah.
It's only minor. It is only minor, and it won't change our game. We've got to go 6-6-6 from points. I was talking to a really good football head today about that, and he agreed with me, which is great. But that last touch out of bounds eliminates that. Absolutely eliminates it.
Yeah.
So let's do it.
And no one complains, do they, in the sample?
No one complains at all.
You know you've kicked it out. Well, it's like basketball. Any of those sports, you get it back. The opposition gets it back.
Yeah, I think
soccer.
It won't change the game. It'll still be congested unless we do another rule change. But I reckon just eliminate that now. And but I'll tell you what it was. It was a really good kick from Lambert, wasn't it? I mean, that's the, you know, when you're trying to buy a goal, and don't ever tell me if the guys that kick goals aren't the most important people in the group. I know you've got to get it down then. You've got to stop them. But the guys that kick straight and kick goals. Magnificent.
8223 0000 Port fans, you should be happy. I wonder how they judged the year at the start of the year. If you said you finished third, I think you'd take it. But it is definitely a chance gone begging. Home final, they played some really good footy, only beaten three times during the year. You expect to win that. You won't get a better chance to go forward, even though you're taking on one of the greatest sides you've seen for a while.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, we know they've got all this couple going west off and Ebert now retiring, of course.
Well done to Brad Ebert.
Yeah,
great
fantastic.
Career.
Yeah, no, he was a really good, solid citizen, wasn't he? Both for Eagles and Port Adelaide. Really, kept the name going, the great name at Port Adelaide. You think that now, so there's going to be seven, roughly 30. Well, that's what Geelong have got, and they've made the grand final. So what it'll be is that the kids underneath, and we know who they are, Houston, Darcy Byrne-Jones, Dersma, Rose, they're going to have another year, another preseason under their belt. They may become the superstars. They may replace the Robbie Grays and Travis Bowles.
George Yardis should be better.
You know, all that sort of stuff, and they've got some other ones. So I wouldn't write them off yet. You got to wait to see what they do when these young men become really solid men.
But you've always been at the ticking clock, whether you're just before, just after. Yeah, are they? They must be getting closer.
Well, I would have thought if you said this year, would the Eagles and Geelong do as well as they have with the ageing list?
I think Eagles are on the way down.
Yeah.
I think going to really struggle for a little while.
Yeah.
I think Collingwood may be on the way down. It's going to be teams like the Gold Coast are getting all the youngsters out there. I think Carlton can improve. St Kilda, if they get a few more players, can improve. Richmond are going to still be around the mark. Geelong are always around the mark.
Yeah, Richmond, I mean, you'd think that, but if they actually win three, you know, history says she's really hard to win.
Richmond have had a lot of injuries, and they seem to be able to, they've got good depth.
Yeah,
they bring players in,
yeah,
and they play well.
If you look at them, a lot of the 28 and 29-year-olds at Richmond. Do you know that?
Let's go to Brett. Hello, Brett. Are you there, Brett?
Just say, Victoria, they should be proud. Not only in the netball, but the rugby league, and the AFL. All the teams have been away for so long, and just had to be in that hub for so long, and they all made grand finals and all that. And I think they should be all be proud and all that. So it's been really hard for them.
That's
a really good call.
Melbourne Storm, of course, in the grand final in the NRL. Thanks, Brett.
Yeah, that's a really good call.
This may stop all the... And don't forget, MCG's not necessarily a great home advantage when they play, say, Richmond play Carlton.
Well, six teams play there. Yeah, no, six teams play there, so it's
exactly
a home ground.
Melbourne like playing there.
Yeah, and I think in our lifetime and in the foreseeable future, probably for 40 or 50 years, it's going to be the team. Unless someone comes up with a stadium that can take more than 100,000.
Hello, Jimmy. You there, Jimmy? No, we haven't got... we'll try and get back to Jimmy. Who's it?
Hello.
He's there.
Hi, Jimmy.
Hey. Hello.
Yeah, we got you.
Okay. I'm talking about tenure of the coach. I don't think he should go on. Because, you know, one thing that failed me was that he never let... Hoff go out on a good note. You know what I mean? Kyle Hoff would have played in that game. You know, he did all the hard work all the year, and then he let him go. You know, like that does hurt a little bit. I'm not making excuses for the day, but I tell you what, I think he should have been in that side. You know, because he's got the cool head. You know, and anyway, you know.
That's all right, Jimmy.
That's your opinion. That's good. I think we all love the romance of the really good players and long-serving players going out on a winning note and a nice note. Sometimes it's unavoidable. And look, It's happened for the last 100 years. It'll happen for the next 100 years while the game's been playing. There is disappointments galore. There'll be injuries galore. There's going to be people miss a grand final by... They'll be 23rd player and only miss by a hair's breadth. I mean, it's just the way it is.
Did you give farewell games in your time? Anyone?
Only if we weren't in the finals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, look, as I said, I would have played Justin Westhoff on Friday night. I just think he's runs on the board.
Yeah, I would have played a smaller one. I wouldn't have gone as tall.
Okay, we're going to take a break. Interesting stuff. But Port Adelaide, hold your head high. Terrific year.
Yeah, great
finished
year.
Top, finished third at the end of the finals. I think a pretty good deal there. We're going to take a break. As I said, Luke Power will join us, the CEO of Woodville West Torrens. Time now, though, for a barista-made sea coffee break.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. Lumo Energy SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA. And OTR. With the OTR app, every fifth C coffee is free.
Yeah, Mac and Blight, David Wilde for Car Sales. We love cars. They sell a car every minute on Car Sales. And the sporting update is the Caulfield Cup. Very elegant. How do they spell that? V-E-R-R-Y. ELLE, victorious in the Group 1 Caulfield Cup. Great finish with Anthony Van Dyke. That's a funny name for horses, and Anthony Van Dyke, brilliant finish, a very excellent one, that one. And the Everest, Kieran McAvoy again, is third Everest win. I think he won about $600,000 for himself for riding the horse. The horse was Classic Legend. Actually won easily, didn't it, too,
yes,
in the end?
Yes, it did. I watched those races.
You have a bet?
Of course I did. Hey, I actually backed Very Elegant.
Did you?
Yes, I did. I was very happy. I missed the winner of the Everest, but I can tell you what, we had a little function on Friday for the Woodville boys, and DB, Dennis Brown.
Oh, remember, yes,
Dennis,
yeah, Brown
from
DB.
All his radio days and the great little man he is, well, I shouldn't say little fella he is, he came up to me and tapped me on the show and he said, Blighty, I've got a tip for you in the Caulfield Cup. And he said, the chosen one. So I had a little wager each way on it, and it paid $14
came
for
third,
the place.
Did it?
Yes, it paid
behind
third,
the other two.
Behind the other two. So and a very good mate of mine, Johnny Reed, of course. We spoke after the race. He said, "You get on?" I said, "I did." So a little $14 each way. It
well
was
done.
Excellent. So I had a very good day at the races.
Had a similar story. I normally, just so you don't lose too much, just bet $2 each way, and I happened to hit 12 rather than 2, like it won as well.
Yeah.
20 to 1, I thought, oh, dummy dough here. Got up and won. $240, thank you very much. That's how we like it.
Yeah, that's...
Okay,
yeah.
All that for Car Sales. Kia Top 7 too now. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed.
Yeah, here we go. The Kia Top 7. Number 7, Lockie Neal, was a great winner of the Brownlow.
I think the shortest price favourite in history. Oh, I loved his speech too. He's very... He understates things. He's not a big head. I thought Lockie and his wife, brilliant last night. She stole the show with the outfit and he stole the show with the Brownlow.
Yeah, I think I've seen some people bagging it, but what else could you do? You had little, you know, little people everywhere. I thought it was...
They made the best of a pretty bad time, didn't they?
Number 6 in the Kia Top 7. Brisbane Lions have had a terrific year, and just we should listen a little bit later. We got some audio from Chris Fagan and lessons learned. I listened to him. I thought it was a really good talk after he...
Always felt they were the third best side going around. If they get Joe Danaher, it'll become the place of destination Queensland, so they won't have any problems attracting some good names up there.
Okay, number 5 in the Kia Top 7. Port Adelaide have had a terrific year. Dust yourself off, have a really good rest, forget about that game now, you can't do anything about it, and go again next year.
Yeah, Tom Jonas made the point, unfinished business. He said, we're proud of what we've done, but this is nowhere where we're going to stop. We want to go one further. I think next year is going to be their big year. As I said, when you talk about the point in time, it's absolutely 12 o'clock for Port next year, so they're going to have to make the most of that.
Kia Top 7, number 4. North Adelaide, your team, had a terrific year. They just need to back it up next year with Jacob Surgeon. Good team.
His enthusiasm is unbelievable. They play the big music on the boombox before the game, after the game. Win or lose, they play it. They're a very close-knit team. They just bumped into a red-hot team on the day. That second quarter from the Eagles, we'll talk to Luke Powell about, was unbelievable.
It was great to watch. Now, the Kia Top 7, number 3. Richmond are the current super team and in line again for 3 out of 4.
I've said all year on their day, I think they're the best side going around. Now, they're going to meet a very good side. Twins, Geelong were hungry. They haven't been to the big dance, since 2011?
Yep.
and they missed out in so many prelims. It's going to be a great coaching feat from Chris Scott if they do, because I've one that thought he was getting him there, but not quite there. So you're going to be up there too, presenting the Jock McHale medal.
Yes.
To and I think,
Chris Scott or Damien Hardwick. So guys that have won it before.
Last year was the worst grand final I've ever seen, and thanks for the tickets, by the way.
Yeah, that's
but
nice.
The biggest one-sided game, I think this will be an absolute beauty.
Kia top seven, number two, Geelong. They are a brave footy club, as I've said. Everyone's bagged them. They're brave because they keep on fronting up. Just like Woodville West Torrens, they keep on fronting up.
Yeah, they do, and they've got a couple of superstars, Selwood and Dangerfield. Hawkins have been around for a long while, Harry Taylor. But it's guys like Parfitt, Guthrie, Menegola's had a good year. Yep. Guys that haven't been the...
Yeah, Colajasny.
Colajasny doing the good stuff.
Views at the back, they've all grown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, no, I like him. As I said, I can't wait for the grand final.
Yep. Now, number one.
Port Adelaide are not top anymore.
No, they're not.
Number one?
No, they're not. No, they've had their little bit. They have to go again. Gee. The Kia top seven.
Yeah, she jumped off them.
No, I did. Well, I was on it for 18 weeks.
Yeah.
Number one in the Kia top seven tonight, David, is the AFL. What seemed highly improbable became fact with one to go.
Become reality. Yeah, no, I agree. Talking about the AFL, remind me tomorrow, I want to ask you, who actually owns the AFL? It's very interesting. Are there shareholders? Are there anyone behind the scenes? You'd know. Had a very a man in football that said, do a bit of snooping, David. He said, you'd be surprised. And I thought the commission ran it and was this and that. But tomorrow, a bit of homework from you. Who actually owns AFL?
All the clubs involved, actually, are the owners of the
club. Well, that's what I thought. But there has to come back to, is it a company? What happens? Is it a company? It's obviously not the stock exchange. But where does all the excess money go and all that with the AFL? Does it go all back to the clubs?
Well, it goes to all sort of distributions to everywhere, including the kids' footy.
Was Hamish Hartlett deliberate out of bounds called the right decision? Yes, 70%. They're saying no, 30. And I'm in the yes, and I think Hammer would say that he's probably looking at the boundary line too. And if you need a delicious breakfast, $5 is all you need. Egg and bacon breakfast, freshly squeezed OJ. Get it only at OTR. Bloody, we are going to a break. On the other side, we will speak with CEO of the Woodville West Torrens Club, Luke Powell.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. Lumo Energy SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA. And OTR. With the OTR app, every fifth C coffee is free.
Welcome back to Sports Day SA. Malcolm Blight and David Wilde for Tyre Power. Tyre Power, big footy final sale on now. And get up to 25% off on selected Kumho tyres. Well, we did the grand final yesterday, Blighty, and it was Woodville West Torrens v North Adelaide. It promised to be a good game, and I think for about a quarter and a half it was, and the Eagles far too good. Second quarter on the best quarters of footy I think I've seen anywhere.
It was sensational. It was really good, sparkling footy, wasn't it? Actually, I agree with you. I reckon it's nearly as good a quarter I've seen for the year.
And it was a record, too, in Sandford in 140 years. Yeah. Let's welcome the CEO of Woodville West Torrens, Luke Powell. Luke, congratulations, and gee, what a day. It all went well. You played your best footy on the biggest day.
Thanks, David. Thanks, Malcolm. Yeah, it was an outstanding day, and, very rewarding for the whole club, really, to win both grades. It was, I don't think the day could have been scripted any better.
Take us back through the season. I mean, it's ended well, but it looked to be a few months ago there'd be no season at all. We spoke with Jake Parkinson yesterday. He said it was up in the air right to the last hour, basically. So for you guys to be able to train and get a team together and have such a good year, you must be really pleased with the competition in general, not just your own club.
Yeah, it's been a long, arduous year, but Jake would have went through it a lot, but the sample have been fantastic to actually just get a season going. I mean, at that stage, I think it was probably around the March, April sort of, we all CEOs were sitting around a circle with sample management sort of looking at, you know, which way do we go from here? And I think every club's players and volunteers and staff should be proud of the efforts they've got through. It's for not looking like we're going to have any season at all, and then to come out the other end to get, you know, essentially a full season where everyone played each other twice and to have a great final series. I think it's a pat on the back, not just for Sanford footy, but for South Australia, the public, really. It's been fantastic.
Luke, congratulations too, Woodford West Torrens. It's been a while coming, mate. You've been an on the door. You've just been such a consistent footy club. A bit like Geelong in the AFL, they're in a similar position. I've really admired the way you've been brave and kept on at it and at it and at it. I mean, you must have been at the club nearly 20 years now, both as a player, premiership player, and now as a premiership CEO. You must right now be pinching yourself and looking in the mirror and saying, oh, thank goodness.
Yeah, it's a bit like that, Malcolm. Thanks. But, I think it's been about 18 years now. It's, I think that's probably one thing. You know, the club obviously cops a little fair bit of flack about the final failures and how we obviously get there a lot but can't go on with it. But it's funny, and obviously you know quite well, Ron Fuller, my old coach, it's one thing he always mentions that the club doesn't get enough credit for is the resilience of the footy club. Although we keep getting knocked back and we keep getting close, we continually put ourselves up there and try and get there. And thankfully, this year it's just worked out well, and the group have been fantastic to be able to come home with the spoils. And it's very rewarding, not just for us, but for so many of our supporters and members that have probably gone through a fair bit of heartache.
Yeah, actually, I caught up with Ronnie on Friday. We had a bit of a show, a bit of an old function for the old players of the club, so that was terrific, just getting ready for Sunday. But I just wanted to mention that to you. I mean, you've actually kept up there, but you've had three different coaches in the last 3 years. It's a remarkable effort, and some of the recruiting, which I might ask you again a little bit later, but it's been remarkable that you've actually been able to put this together.
Yeah, it's been an interesting probably 3 or 4 years. It's from going from having Ron for 10 years and Michael Godden for about nine, 10 years as well, to all of a sudden we've had three coaches in the space of 3 years. But I think that's the beauty of having such a good core group of players. We've got really good leaders at the football club, and that culture's sort of probably been created for the last 15 to 20 years that they're on a path, they know where they need to get to. And we're probably lucky that we've had the coaches we have been really good, and we've got an exceptional one in Jade at the moment.
Four flags, 25 finals appearances in 30 years.
Yeah, it's
remarkable. If Centrals went around, they'd probably have about 8 flags themselves. But hey, what do you think, Luke? I was just thinking the similarities early on in the grand final of the second semi. North Adelaide were 3-1 to a point, and that was exactly the same score in the second semi. What are you thinking then? Because we didn't see the turnaround coming like that. We always thought the Eagles could come back, but not to be almost in an unbelievable position at halftime like you were.
Yeah, I think when they kicked the first 3 goals, I mean, personally, I felt quite sick at that I think that's where the group is. And Jade was, I think he's mentioned a couple of times, been quite confident. North Adelaide, even throughout the minor round, they've jumped us each time. So I think just for Jade to have that confidence that eventually the players will get to settle and they'll get back onto the game. And I think having such a young group, I think it took, especially probably down the back half, we've got a lot of young kids, it probably just took them a little while to find their feet and get their balance back. And once they sort of got into the game, I think then that's when things shone through.
Just individualising a little bit, the Jack Adey medalist, Jordan Foote, I know he's played a half a dozen games at the Swans. I was fascinated to read his story, not this week, but prior to, and just seeing the few of the games that the Eagles have played this year. You chased him, you knew about him. I know the family history at West Torrens and all that sort of stuff from a long while ago, but you've actually been chasing him or you knew of him. I mean, it's a great recruit.
Yeah, he's been fantastic, Jordan. Right from the word go, when we knew he came available, we got probably 5 or 6 phone calls actually about him that said, look, you got to speak to him, even though he's already on our radar. But he's been fantastic. I think he's one of those players that probably just didn't take his opportunity at AFL, but he's got elite endurance. He's got elite fitness, and on a big stage, he can stand out. And I mean, it was evident yesterday in his first half just how good he could be. And I mean, he's still got aspirations to go higher, and hopefully a game like that can still put it in people's mind that he might have something to offer.
I think he had the Jack Odie one at half time, certainly 6 or 7 fingers on it. It was I think 16 possessions, 4 goals. Yeah. But it was a case of all played well, Luke. I went through the team, you could say Tumpus had an outstanding day. Roland, Lockie Jones, Signor, go through just about every player they played their part. Thompson down back. It was remarkable, really. And it's like the old days when you looked in the paper and under-11s all played well, but that's what it was like.
Yeah, it was. And I think that's probably something, you know, we've got to give credit to Jade for that. He's instilled so much confidence in the group, whether you've that young kid coming through. I mean, Lockie McNeil was one of those. He's probably only played about 15 games of league footy, but to be able to have such a good game on a big stage, I think each player knows that they've got their role. They just, as long as they stick to what Jade wants them to do, that the rewards will come. And we've seen that throughout the year. And I think it's just a combination that everything worked at the right time. With that second quarter, it was just amazing footy.
Now, Jade said after the game, I was fascinated with his comment up on the dais and, humble but very proud. He mentioned that he really thanked Jacob Surgeon, the North Adelaide coach, for getting an attacking mindset back into his space. It was an interesting comment. Did you hear what he said, and I wonder what he meant by that?
Yeah, look, I haven't sort of had a chat to him about it, but I think Jade likes to see the game go that way, I think it's slowly starting to turn, especially in the sample. And it's probably been in the last 3 or 4 grand finals, it's been like that. It's been high scoring, attacking football, and it's what people want to see. Like we've gone through this defensive stage of footy for so long, and I think it drives a lot of people insane in an AFL standard. But I think. If you play at an attractive brand of football, people want to be there and to watch it. But I think it's also on the playing side of things, the players enjoy it as well.
Of course.
They can show that flair. They've got that bit of freedom, and it's a lot easier to buy in when you're playing attacking footy than defensive footy.
Lockie Jones, we mentioned a terrific player. You mentioned McNeil. James Rowe, what a year. I think the smallest player ever to win a Ken Farmer medal. He was closely guarded and certainly first quarter fairly quiet, but certainly made his mark, a couple of goals and gave out a couple. You reckon he's a chance for AFL club to look at him? I know he's not overly quick or certainly tall than that, but Jade Sheedy said his footy IQ is as good as he's seen.
Yeah, so from a selfish point of view, we probably don't want him to go, but I think from our footy club, we'd love to see him get the opportunity, and I think he deserves it. He can't do much more for the role he plays, as you know, that high forward, small forward that consistently kicks not ones and twos. He'll kick his threes and fours, and yeah, as Jade said, his IQ is as good as anyone. I think what stands one of his greatest attributes that he's got, he actually reads the ball, the drop of the football, better than I reckon I've seen. He knows where to position himself before others even think about where they need to be. And look, there's plenty of, I think, you know, he's as good as many on AFL lists around, and it'd be great to see him get an opportunity, because he's just worked so hard to actually get to where he is now, and it'd be just reward if someone just, you know, would give him, even if it's a rookie spot and he can work his way through, but he definitely deserves a go.
Yeah, I think you're going to have a few go, which is great, because that means you've got some more kids and pushing through. We spoke to Joey Signor last week. I thought he was pretty solid again and moved from halfback to on the ball. I mean, another really good contributor. As David said, the load that was spread amongst the team was enormous. I mean, everyone had a little tick by their name.
They did, yeah, and Joey's probably been that progression through. As he comes through as a junior, you bide your time, you work your way into the side, and he's become a really good leader of our footy club, and I think he'll be one of our future captain for us. And it's just, yeah, to see the progression through them, and I think that's, again, this the confidence and the culture that's been instilled in the guys, that it's, you know, it's going to be your time when to step up, and you've just got to be there. And so far, they haven't put a foot wrong with doing that.
Well, Luke, hats off to you and the club. A fantastic game yesterday. They thoroughly deserved. The best team on the day won, and you've been bridesmaid a couple of times, but certainly got the big victory there.
Hey, yeah, well done too. Hey, listen, I know we were all invited back to Oval Avenue last night. I've been there a fair bit in my time. I didn't think I'd go. What was the crowd like? It would have been pretty noisy.
It was, yeah. I think we might have just nudged 2,000, so on a cold Sunday night. It was fantastic for all the supporters to come back, and we're very grateful for that. And the boys definitely enjoyed it, and I think they've been waiting 9 long years for it. So it was great to see.
Great stuff. Yeah. CEO there of Woodville West Torrens, Luke Powell, joining us. And they were the better side, clearly. But that second quarter, bloody, you can talk AFL, you can talk Sanford, you can talk amateur. That's as good as I've seen.
You know, sometimes when I watch football, I just clap. Yeah. You know, just to, oh, yeah, that's footy.
But everything went right. Everything had to go right.
It was their day. And I think, you know, they've had some days where it hasn't gone like that, as Luke said. But great win.
Yeah, it was. For energy from an Australian-owned company, switch to Lumo SA today. Call 131-5866. We're going to take a break and finish off shortly. Plenty to talk about on the footy on the weekend. Blighty and Wilds, time now for a Bristol-made Sea Coffee break.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. Lumo Energy SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA. And OTR. With the OTR app, every fifth C coffee is free.
Welcome back to Sports Day SA. Malcolm Blight and David Woody. Well done to Luke Powell, too, as we said. We really enjoyed that interview.
Yeah.
He kept himself fairly fairly okay. A few messy boys down there, apparently.
Yeah, good player now, premiership player. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, our OTR app, you can get that, and every fifth C coffee is free. It was Hamish Hartlett's deliberate out-of-bounds call. We spoke about that at the start in the last term against the Tigers. The controversial call was divided many. I thought it was deliberate. Others, some saying it was not. Here's how it unfolded.
Lynch coughed it up. Laddams, good tackle again. Prestia, is that out on the four? Is it deliberate? It's deliberate.
Well, they've been paying them all night, haven't they?
Yep. Yeah. Just want to see the replay of this. It didn't look like he was a master of disguise.
Have a look at this. Was it deliberate? Hartlett, you bet it was. Great call by the umpire. He had no other intention. And in the end, I think that's a pretty obvious decision. And then...
Yeah, I thought it was deliberate, and to Port's credit, I haven't heard too many fans complaining about the umpiring, get the few that have. Richmond had six more scoring shots. They totally dominated the second half in clearances and out of the centre, so they were the better team on the night.
It's on our poll, and most people in the poll, or two-thirds, think it was. I thought he was trying to hit it to Rockliffe. He just caught a black and white Guernsey on the boundary line.
He hit it too hard, and double-handed, almost a throw.
I know. You could have had an argument the other way.
Hey, you've pre-ordered your sea coffee. I've seen you on the... You're getting quite good on the old iPhone there for OTR app, so well done there. The Repco player of the round?
Yep, the Blackwood Dinos. Tune and service, your local Repco authorised service up there at Service Centre up there at Blackwood. Blackwood Dino Tune and Service, your local Repco... I just said that. For expert car service with the nationwide backing of Repco. Good company, Repco. This week's player of the round is Richmond's Toby Nankervis. One out performance. He was terrific in ruck and in the last quarter saved them a couple
Three
of times.
Big marks.
Yeah, saved them a number of times. And in a 4-point victory, the big fella is our Repco player of the round.
I thought he did really well to take on Laddams and Lysette. Yeah. Lysette did some nice things too. Laddams
we've talked about that. With power a little bit tall at times?
Todd Marshall, we keep talking about that. Scover, I would still prefer Westhoff there with his experience, or even maybe Woodcock, a short bloke coming in. But anyhow, Nankervis is very good. Just want to play a grab before you do your couple of Monday memories. Chris Fagan, they had a very good year, but it wasn't to be. They won their first final, lost their second, they were out. Here's Chris Fagan.
That's what happens when you get down to the last four. You face disappointment sometimes, it's that disappointment that hardens you in the long run. I was fortunate to spend time at Hawthorn. They won a flag in 2008. The next year they didn't make the finals. The next year they got knocked out in the first week of the finals. The next year they got beaten in the prelim. The next year they got beaten in the grand final. And then they won three in a row. So it's a process that you have to go through, unfortunately. I was hoping that we wouldn't have to, but we met a team tonight who's lost a lot of preliminary finals, and they desperately wanted to get into a grand final, and they showed that in the way that they play tonight, and all credit to them. I thought that was a brilliant performance by Geelong.
Well said, Chris Fagan.
Yeah, I listened to both those. Chris Scott was terrific, and I thought Chris Fagan was good, and he summed it up beautifully. I mean, they have had a magnificent year, but sometimes you just don't win. Now, we're going to just change tack here for the end of the show with Monday Memories, David, because there's a couple here. Michael Wyndon, remember Michael Wyndon in 1968, won the 100-metre freestyle at the Mexico City Olympics. Hard to do, great score. Here's one for you and me. In 1986, Alan Border, the great Alan Border, scored the 1,000,000th run in Test cricket in Bombay, India.
Oh, done good stat.
And last one, this little young fella has had a bit of trouble lately, Born in 1998 on this day, 22? Tyson Stengel.
Oh, yeah.
He's 22 today.
Today.
So there's some interesting Monday memories for you, David.
Great stuff. The all-new game-changing Kia Sorento has landed. Find out more at kia.com.au. I'll see you tomorrow night, same time between 6 and 7 on Wednesday. We've got the great Mike Sheehan, who's finishing his open mic
series.
He's going to speak exclusively to M. Blight and D. Wilde. See you tomorrow night.
Bye, David.
Sports Day for Kia. The all-new Kia Sorento has landed. Lumo Energy SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA. And OTR. With the OTR app, every fifth C coffee is free.